Right. Welcome again, everybody, to the second Sunday of Advent, our season of preparation and anticipation for celebrating Jesus' birth. Today, I'm going to begin by doing something a little bit of fun. So I'm sure you all know the powerful impact that music can have on our lives, right? Every story, every movie you've watched, every TV show has a background track for different scenes, right? Different people enter the room. The music plays that tells you something about that person, what their character is, whether they're the good guy or the bad guy, right? The music kind of shapes the emotional undertones of the music, and it leads us through the landscape of the story. So imagine how the story of your life would be told through music playing around you. Music that communicated the essence of your character, your attitudes, your mood, right? What would the background track of your life be? Or the walk-up music, if you were to walk up to the front of the room and do a presentation, what would be the music playing to go along with me, right? Or go along with you. So what do you think? Any thoughts on that? I know you do. I'm going to have Pat go ahead. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Okay. Wendy, do you want to tell us yours? Yeah, yeah. Yep. Yep. I do. Do we have sound playing back there for me? There it is. Imagine this theme is that follows your head. Your ringtone, yeah. And what song is that? Oh, yeah. Anybody else? Any other thoughts? Kurt, are you laughing because you have a good one? The Lone Ranger, someone? Yeah. Any other thoughts? Yeah, yeah, there's that one. Yeah, so that music communicates powerful things. Imagine if we use music in that way during our worship service, right? Somebody's coming up to give announcements and you hear something. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope. Can we turn it up a little like bit? Like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. Okay, something that kind of... What's that? Your church. We need your power. Yeah, yeah. We can have that one play during announcements just to kind of set the mood for us, this joyful anticipation, united, shared life. Right before we invite Becky to come up and pray, maybe we play this one. Over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Right. Come rest on us. Something to just, I can feel it just listening to it, right? It just sets the tone of your heart, prepares us to come before the Lord. As I'm coming up to preach, perhaps we play this. Oh, wait. Sorry. Not that one. Does the... How about we try something like this instead? Oh, that's the wrong one. Sorry. This one. Does the Father truly love us? Does the Spirit move among us? And is Jesus our Messiah? Hold forever those he loves. Does our God intend to dwell again? Music just has such a powerful impact on our hearts and minds. It can really set the tone for what we're preparing to do, right? Playing just those little clips can help just prepare our hearts and minds. And so this morning, as we consider Jesus as our sort of source of peace, I'm going to explore some musical metaphors to hopefully illustrate how powerfully Jesus works in our world to lead us into peace. So let's begin by considering the typical pace of the Christmas season. Is it peaceful? No, usually not, right? I've had three conversations this morning about Christmas decorating for the church and how, oh my goodness, it's almost Christmas already and we haven't even pulled anything out of the attic. You hit Thanksgiving, right? And we try to hold off until after Thanksgiving before we start diving into Christmas, but then the next thing we know, Christmas is almost here. We have the Christmas shopping season that begins way before Thanksgiving now. And there's this, you have ads confronting you everywhere you go with all the best deals, and you have this frenzy of this thing that's supposed to be about just being generous and loving toward one another now turns into the shopping frenzy and the stress of having to get gifts for, I see it on your faces, right? This is the pace of the Christmas season. The Christmas season is a time for celebrating, but then which is great, but it also means it's a thing that fills up our calendars quickly with all kinds of parties and recitals and travel and family gatherings and everything that fills our calendars and stresses us out. All of these things press the stress triggers as well of finances and family dynamics. And layered on top of that is the ever-present noise of the Christmas season with all the songs proclaiming joy everywhere you go. The digital noise of extra notifications saying your package is on its way, right? All the stuff that creates a very unpeaceful environment. She is. She's doing a great job. Oh, and I wish I had not missed my clip here. I had another clip that I forgot to put in my sermon, but there's a song that's just discordant. Think of have you ever heard of The Flight of the Bumblebee? The music is just out of control. That's kind of the pace of the Christmas season. That's the music background of the Christmas season. There's no melody, no rhythm, no center, right? It sounds chaotic. The world's portrayal of Christmas just adds more noise to our lives and emphasizes once again the importance of Advent. When we come together to set our hearts and minds on Jesus and listen to the music he sets our lives to, he can help us find peace, a real peace above the noise. As Philippians 4:7 expresses, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I love that passage. It's a peace that surpasses understanding. It's not something we can explain. It doesn't necessarily fit the circumstances. It surpasses all understanding, and it guards our hearts and minds, guards us against the noise of the world. And that peace that surpasses understanding is not just a stillness and quiet, but it's the kind of peace that Becky described of the dove sleeping in under the tumultuous waterfall. And it's expressed in the Hebrew concept of shalom. Shalom is a state of wholeness, completeness, soundness, and universal flourishing. It's a state where everything is functioning just as it should be, the way God intended it to be. It's a restoration of all that is broken. Shalom is that state of everything coming together the way God wanted it to be. And while we may not be living in a world that is rooted in that peace yet, we do have access to the restoration that Jesus brings. We have access to a restored relationship with God through Jesus' death and resurrection. We have peace that leads to restoration between us as we all mutually seek to live for Christ together. And we can find a sense of that peace in our lives through our faith in Jesus, knowing that he is at work and will restore all things as God the Father intended. The day will come when that peace is fully restored. As we think about the peace that Jesus brings to our world, there's a musical metaphor that comes to mind that I'd love to share with you. So I'm sure many of you are familiar with J.R.R. Tolkien, right? Many of you have probably seen the films, The Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit, or maybe you've actually read the books. Maybe you've read them multiple times, the way that I have made my sons read them. Well, I invited them to read them. One of Tolkien's books is called The Silmarillion. It's a precursor to The Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit, and all of that. It tells the beginning of the world. And I have always loved this creation account that Tolkien wrote for his fictional world of Middle-earth. And it's a good metaphor as we think about the world we live in today. And so this creation account that he wrote is known now as the Music of the Ainur. And here's a summary. In the beginning, as Tolkien wrote, there was a creator known as Eru Ilúvatar. And he created beings known as the Ainur, which are similar to angels. That's how I relate to them. They're like angelic beings. And he taught them to create a beautiful, a unified harmony together that could weave together their ideas. Each of them brought their own unique character to it. They made this beautiful music together, and out of it came into existence a world, a vision for a world. As they created this music, the music of the Ainur, there was a vision that came into being of the world that Ilúvatar would eventually make real, the real Middle Earth. And in the end, there were three movements to this music. The first part was the flawless composition that pleased the creator and began to shape the world just as he intended it, the fullness and the wholeness of all he intended. But during the song, one of the Ainur became prideful. He tried to make parts of the music assigned to him overpower the creator's themes, and he wanted to bring creatures of his own into being. And as he sought power for himself, he tried to sing his own song over the melody, and that caused those near him to falter, or it drew some in. They joined in him, and he had this discordant sound that caused damage to the image that they were creating. It was no longer the world that the creator initially wanted. But then in the third movement, Ilúvatar began a new theme. It was a quiet and soft sound at first, distinct from the loud clamor of this prideful being. And it was so powerful that it overcame that prideful theme and wove the discord of that theme into its own pattern until it became something new and even more beautiful than the first theme, and restored order to his creation. Now, while all of that is purely fictional, I love how well Tolkien's description can fit so well with what the Bible tells us about God's creation, our own world. In the beginning, God spoke his wonderful creation into existence. The background music of this track world would have been a beautiful harmony of all he created, the world as God created it, and as he intended it, was beautiful and harmonious and wonderful. But then sin came. At some point, Satan rebelled against God. Adam and Eve were tempted to disobey God. They gave into that temptation and sin. And ever since that time, sin has ruled in mankind's hearts, introducing chaos and discord into God's creation. This is the world we live in now, with generations of sin and brokenness contributing to the discordant noise. The background track of our world today is that chaotic, discordic theme that weaves brokenness into God's perfect creation. That is where we live. But long ago, God began a new movement. He introduced a new theme into our broken and distorted existence when he chose a young Jewish woman in Galilee to give birth to a child conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. This child, Jesus, came softly and quietly into the world, being born in the manger in Bethlehem. But this Jesus is the Son of God. He is Emmanuel, God with us. As Paul wrote in Colossians 1:15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. This was no mere child. As Jesus grew, he began to show his power. His background theme began to grow more powerful. He grew in wisdom. He demonstrated his love, and he would draw people out of the world's darkness. But then he was arrested and hung on a cross and died. At that time, it would have sounded like Satan's chaotic music had finally overpowered God's will and taken control. But the music did not end there. Jesus shattered the silence of the tomb, returned from the grave in victory, having overcome the world. You can imagine the victorious theme that would play behind that moment when Jesus walked out of the tomb, overcoming Satan's chaotic theme. Ever since his resurrection, Jesus' restoration has been working its way through the world. You can think of it as a sweet new song winding its way through the sinfulness of the world, wherever Jesus goes, wherever his name is taken, overtaking the sinful theme and producing something new and wonderful. The fullness of shalom peace winding its way through all creation. Jesus is our peace. He brings peace to us as he restores people and all of creation into the fullness of what God intended. So as we look beyond the world and fix our eyes on Jesus today, let's consider the many ways that he brings real peace to our lives, the restoration and fullness of life as God intended it. So the first and most immediate restoration is an upward peace, our harmony with our Creator. Sin created massive discord between us and God. Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And so although sin separated us, Jesus came and offered us peace with God. Each of us individually can find that peace when we confess our sin to the Lord and receive what Jesus has offered. That's all that's required. You are not required to perform in any way. Your past does not count against you. Your present does not count against you. It is not something you have to prove in any way. Jesus did it all. And he brings and offers you peace when you receive him into your life. As a result of that restoration, we have an inward peace that comes from Jesus. A personal soundproofing for our soul. And even in the world's discord, when it's loud and chaotic and stressful and fearful, we can have internal rest. Our hearts and minds can be at peace. In John 14, verses 26 and 27, Jesus said, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. And my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let them be afraid." And so Jesus was preparing to leave. He reminded us that he would send his helper to be with us always, to give us that peace that we can find in every situation. Jesus doesn't give us peace by silencing the world. He gives rest to our hearts and our minds. He gives us his Spirit so that even in the midst of those troubles, we can walk with the peace of Christ, knowing that he is with us, he goes before us, he fights for us, he draws us near, and holds us close. So we have an upward peace with God, an inward peace in our hearts, and we have an outward peace with one another. Jesus restores fellowship among humanity. And I've shared this verse many times here. Ephesians 2:14 says, "For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of his hostility." Jesus is working among all of us to reconcile people to one another. Part of the damage of sin is the separation and the discord between people. We experience that in so many ways in our world. Sometimes it's shocking to me how much hatred and violence there is between people today. I never imagined it would come to what we experience now. Jesus is at work restoring connection between people. He draws people together to restore God's intended design for human relationships. When we commit to life together in Christ, we join together as brothers and sisters to dismantle the discord that separates us. And finally, there is a peace that is encompassing of all things and is inevitable. No matter how broken the world seems, we have confidence that Jesus will ultimately restore it all. Every day we move closer to the day when Jesus returns to reconcile all things to himself. The final movement of Jesus restoring, the final movement of overcoming comes with Jesus. This is the movement when Jesus gloriously overwhelms for once and for all the discordant tune of sin. All of creation has been subjected to sin. It's not just us people. The world groans under sin. There's something within each one of us, and there's something in all creation that eagerly awaits what is to come. We can read this together in Romans 8, 18 through 25. Let's find that passage. Romans 8, 18 through 25. Apostle Paul writes here, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us. What a wonderful promise that is to hold on to. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from the bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, for the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we will wait for it patiently. So many things that Paul expresses there about peace. But creation itself longs for that final restoration. Creation itself is experiencing through the Lord and through the work he invites us to, the restoration as we walk this earth. And one day, all of creation and our very bodies will be redeemed and restored. We live in that hope today. Not a hope that is questioning and wondering, maybe it will happen, but a hope that is confident. We don't see it today, but we know that this restoration will come. This is the peace that we have when we walk by faith in Jesus, that all things will be restored to him. So let us seek peace this week. Listen for the reassuring melody of Jesus in your soul and let it rise above the noisy chaos of the broken and distracted world around us. Let him and his presence speak more clearly to you than the troubles of this life. As we look ahead to celebrating Jesus' birth, let's remember that he is our peace. The first Advent, when Jesus came, was a quiet introduction to this third theme. The baby's cry in Bethlehem played on a tiny and humble instrument. And now we wait for the glorious crescendo, the day Jesus returns to complete the theme of God, the restoration of his world. The discord of sin will not win. Chaos is temporary, and the promise of God's final return will bring that shalom peace for certain. So let's let the music of the Creator ring out among us, let the sound of his ultimate and inevitable restoration rise in our hearts as we listen to one more song speaking of the joy of the Lord.
Flowers before thee, owning to the dark of doubt away, giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day.
We can just let those words and that melody echo in our hearts. Speak, don't let those Christmas songs just be the noise of the world, but let those words speak of the peace of Christ. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Let's pray and give him thanks. Lord, we thank you that this world is not destined to just fall apart, that we are not going to succumb to the brokenness that we see around you. You are bringing restoration to this world. You have been working among us for centuries, Lord, drawing people to yourself, showing them new life, giving them renewed hope, and restoring all things. We look forward to the day of final restoration. But in the meantime, Lord, encourage us, guard our hearts and minds, commit us to the work of displaying your glory, living in your peace, and bringing about your restoration through your power. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.